What is going down, everybody? It's time for MojoBreak.com, the hype, episode number 182. Guys, we've been breaking for 10 years, so we wanted to let you guys know we're doing a special on MojoBreak.com that any break you buy into, you're going to get entered into get a free break, and this week's free break is going to be a 1920 Contenders Optic box and a box of Immaculate Soccer. So all you got to do is buy in this week, which we've got Absolute, we've got Encase coming on Friday. Any of these breaks that break this week, you get entered in to win a free break. 10-year anniversary at MojoBreak.com. 10 years breaking. Dan, how does 10 years feel?
How do you do it, Doug? How do you do it?
I don't know, man.
How do you do it?
I don't
it?
Know how I'm still here.
Me either. Oh, I came in hot there. Oh, yeah. See, when I originally checked it, I wasn't checking it the correct volume. That was my bad.
You and your bass voice.
That was my bad. I mean, you know. Mix between Fergie and Jesus.
And what, C-Red, you've been here, what, 5 years, 4 years?
Yes, yes, sir.
It's crazy. Seems like it was just yesterday, man.
Yep.
Just yesterday, 2016 honors,
16.
Man. 16 honors.
16 replay.
It's crazy.
16 replay.
16 replay, that's right.
Actually,
you know how much, we're going off topic here, but we're bringing back some memories. Do you know how much wholesale 1617 Prism Mosaic is?
Wholesale? I do not.
It's $600.
It was free. It was zeroed. It was
$600 for the case.
No, for the box.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
So actually, you bring up replay. It's a really
good nobody deal. Knows what we're talking
it's
about.
It's a really good deal now.
Yeah, replay basketball was a big mistake by Panini, and
no.
they gave us free boxes to be like, hey, we made a really bad product that you paid a lot of money for, but here's some boxes of 1617 Prism Mosaic for free, which I think at the time they were selling for like $50, and now they're $600 a box. But anyways.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we're kind of going off here, but I'll just add that 1617, I was talking about the other day, but at this point, that class is actually one of the better draft classes
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Because when you look at a draft class, you don't want to just look at the high-end guys, like the top three picks and be like, okay, all right, were they good or not? You got to look through the entire draft and see like which guys are still on teams, which guys are still like playing big minutes for their teams, you know, big role players. So like that draft class is actually really good. So
yeah. Yeah, and speaking of Prism, we're going to discuss, coming up later in the show, we're going to discuss the latest Dutch auction for the 2021 Prism. We're going to talk about what the reaction was from people, and we're going to give you guys our insight on that as well. So we got a pretty action-packed show. That's probably going to be the main topic, because that's going to be a big, big deal for the hobby next week.
Mm-hmm.
So, but first thing, we're going to kick off, we're going to talk a little Heritage. 2021 Heritage does release this week, and I feel it's a pretty star-studded rookie class, and we're going with the 72 design, so it changes every year, so next year will be 73, then the year after that will be 74, so on and so forth. Every year, I think Heritage just picks up more and more steam as we're in this parallel era. You got chances at super fractors of these big rookies like Joe Adell, Ryan Mountcastle, Bart, stuff like that, plus dual autos as you see on the slide here, this Nolan Ryan Shohei Ohtani, which is amazing. They have the best dual autos in Heritage, and just, you know, really cool nostalgia mixed with the present day players. So we have Heritage on the website. We have two cases so far at MojoBreak.com. You can also pre-sell Heritage boxes at MojoBreakShop.com. Are you excited for Heritage, Dan?
I am, and I want to just break this down for people who haven't been in the industry for a long time. Heritage is not definitive.
Yeah.
Different collector.
Yeah.
It's a. You're looking for variations, and it's also for set builders.
Yes.
You are only going to
see. Wait. People still build sets and stuff?
I know,
which
I know.
The,
but
they're
I feel,
the oldest type of collector.
I feel like I got it. I mean, and I like
What's
autographs.
That?
I like autographs. So this is like even older than me.
Yeah.
This is like OG.
These are the vintage collectors.
Before the dinosaur. It's
OG. Yeah, before the dinosaur. Where's my dinosaur?
It's the.
No, but like
bacteria,
you're only going to.
Bacteria gonna, days.
You may only get like three autos in a case.
Yeah.
So a lot of packs. We're all wearing black.
Yeah, just D Porter shout out in the chat. We're all black day at Mojo. That's right.
But yeah, I mean, it's not going to be like an action packed break. It's something that we love ripping. Love looking at the older vintage designs, and yeah, it's just really cool stuff. Some of the cards, like the real one autos, go for a lot of money.
Yeah.
But they are tough to pull.
Yeah, especially the red ink. If you, I mean,
the
you
red ink. Yeah.
Look at any of the rookies over the past 5 years. Red ink. I mean, that's crazy.
And those would be numbered to 72. I take it
yes.
this year because they're always numbered to the year
of the design.
Nice.
Man, you know, think about that. If we're breaking in like, you know, 10, 15 years from now and we start getting into the era of like when we collected as kids, like the 89.
Oh, no. I'm thinking, like, what if we get into, like, the 2010 tops?
Yeah.
Ooh, 2010. Ooh.
Yeah, we'll see if these hands still work, right? They still bring the fire. Or, you know, my kids are going to be breaking at that point or something. Who knows?
I don't know. I think I should just retire from breaking every sport but hockey.
We would say something about
hockey?
You. Yeah,
I can't.
He hit all the main guys today.
I go in and I'm actively like, I can't do it again. How do I do it? And then just like fire everywhere.
Nice.
Nonstop.
I don't think I pulled any Lafreniere young guns. He pulled them all.
I pulled 90% of the print run.
Yeah.
That's a lot of
recruiting you. Yeah, well, it's because you like the bacon and what do we call that? poutine fries, right?
It's just poutine. You don't have to say fries. It's just poutine.
Yeah. But you put it on the fries. Right?
No, it's just the dish is called poutine.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna have to go to the expo when they allow us to travel.
Just walk in. I'm looking for the poutine.
It's all I'm here for.
Looking for the poutine and the Molson.
One day flight there. So, but yeah, we've got Heritage. Like I said, we're excited for that. And it's a big checklist, a lot to hit, a lot of variety. There'll be error variations that you won't even see. Like you'll make 10 cases of it, you won't even see. You know, finally get one of those, you're like, whoa! And so there's a lot of things going on in Heritage, and it really does pay tribute to that old set. And they use a lot of the same things that they used back then. So
when is it released? Friday or
Friday?
Monday?
Yeah, Friday. We got Friday. We got Encased Football on Friday as well, and. And then next week we head into Prism, which is what we're going to talk about next, is 2021 Prism. Everybody's talking about it right now, so we got to talk about it as well because everybody's gearing up, whether they're getting into breaks, whether they're buying some boxes, whether they're trying to get the Dutch auction on the first off the line. But I do like the design. They didn't sway away too much from what they've done in the in the past.
Good
but,
design this year.
What do you think about the designs?
overall... You know, like it's gonna be great for grading because you can tell, you know, like you'll be able to tell right away about your centering situation, right? I like the design. The thing I'm most excited about, I'm sure we're gonna get to it. The thing I'm most excited about is actually the picture in the top left, the 12-13 retros. That's gonna be a big deal.
Yeah.
And that's what's gonna keep this particular set year of Prism valuable.
Why did they do 12-13 retros on a ninth year anniversary?
I can't explain it.
Why not?
They must, you know, I don't know how Panini looked at it, but
maybe next year they'll have them again, but they'll be numbered like 10 or something, right? Maybe because it's 10 years.
You would think they would have saved that for like a 10th year type of thing, right? Remember in 16-17 where they had that five-year anniversary?
Yeah, I know it well.
Yeah. So
Jalen Brown, I have one.
They're going to do something
you
like
have
that
one too.
They're for sure going to do something like that for next year, but I think particularly just going back and having another subset where you can get the iconic 12-13 design, is going to be huge.
Do they have all the parallels of that design too? Because they're showing a black here, right?
I think they have at least the main parallels. They're going to have a gold variation, maybe a mojo variation, and then the black.
Well, actually, if they stay true to that year. All there was a silver, gold, and a base, I think, right? And
right.
Then green retail. And
right.
So, I didn't even know that. So you're dropping them some knowledge. I didn't even look that over. So that's another interesting element to the set. One thing I wanted to speak on before we get on to Dutch auction, so I'll let you guys decide this, is that last year, the first off the line was a 10-card box,
yep.
Right? You got 10 cards. You got your exclusives, you got a couple silvers, and then you got a couple autos, and it was a smaller choice size box. This year, it's 12 packs and 12 cards with two guaranteed shimmers of number 35 or less, and 22 parallels, just like the hobby. So we went from having a print run of 10 cards to a print run of 144 cards per box now for the first off the line. So to me, I'm looking at it saying... The base rookie now is absolutely probably safely 5 to 6 times produced compared to last year.
Yep.
So will the demand, you know, for base, I'm not talking about silvers. I'm not talking about any of the colors. I'm talking about strictly the base rookie where, you know, you get a Zion that are 400 or 500 now raw up to 1,000 graded. Is there going to be enough demand for the amount of supply of base rookies that Panini's making this year? And whoever wants to take that one first, well, and in the chat, I want to know what you
guys think. I think we did a little bit of math on how many first off the line boxes we think that they produced.
We think that they made 16,000 boxes.
So, yeah, I mean,
works out to how many cases?
I think 1,300 cases.
Okay.
Give or take.
So, yeah, I mean, another thing, touch on what Conrad just said, it's crazy. Only in this industry you can be like, the iconic 12-13
yeah,
design.
It's, like a long time
it's ago. Only it's only 9 years ago. It's like not like it was 50 years ago, but only in this industry you can say iconic old timey 12-13 design.
The first year.
But yeah, Dutch auction started out at 4,500. I don't know for sure, but I mean there's probably people who put it in their cart and checked out at 4,500, was like, I'm just gonna get it just to get it. I don't care what it sells at, whatever. What I did see on Twitter was the way to hand it to Panini hobby community. You held strong and you didn't cave and you let it hit the floor. The floor was $2,000. Panini ain't crying.
No.
They're not sad.
You didn't hand it to them.
You didn't hand it to
Trust
them.
Trust me.
I mean, if you bought it at $2,000, you handed it to them a bunch of money. So, I appreciate the hobby community coming together.
Sentiment.
I like what everybody was going
for.
Yeah,
I don't want to say that, you know, Panini like has like got us to believe that $2,000 is sticking it to them, but I think we all think that now, right? Or at least the majority of the hobby.
I mean, I get it. It couldn't go any lower.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if you let it hit the floor, who knows?
It's like they do the Dutch auction, in a sense, is almost like an eBay reserve.
I mean, I will tell you right now, I'm surprised. I thought it would sell out at 2,800.
I was guessing 3K
based on
I said 2,800
and I think there was people actively buying probably from 4,500 to the start all the way down.
Mm-hmm. Cost averaging it down.
Do we remember where I know the first off the line last year I think ended around 800, which seemed like a lot because I think we got some at 800. Mm-hmm. Do we remember?
No, I know people that got it for six.
Right. There you go. So. Do we remember what the hobby was starting at? Was it 400 or 500 a box?
Yeah, it was like four.
So now we're at 54. Now we're at 2,500 on major online retailers. 2,500. You can go on there right now and see it at that price. Back to the question about, okay, so if they did make more demand, if they did make more supply of these rookies, because theoretically, unless they, you know, print less rookies compared to the other cards, it theoretically that there should be more rookies out there. So because the box price is more expensive, do you think the rookies are still going to command a premium? Do you think people that bought $2,000 box are less likely to just do a 99-cent auction, so it's going to maintain the price? Because I just think there's going to be so many rookies out there. I don't even know if 300 on a LaMelo is going to stick.
Raw?
Yeah.
No.
No, but there's people saying on forums that it's going to be a $1,000 card.
Yeah.
A base.
I'm not going to say it's because of the injury, because I actually think what the injury does,
it helps.
It definitely helps his it protects his value.
Yeah, they saying he might be back this year though. If they make it to the playoffs, he might be back. They're saying it was
playoffs.
They're saying it's a clean. he had a clean injury, and they've already done with surgery.
Hornets are fifth in the East.
Okay. I don't. I don't think his injury, again, will hurt his value. If anything, it'll stabilize it. It probably won't go up.
I think that's what a lot of new collectors assume, but like us that have been in the industry for long enough, we've seen that injuries actually help.
Yeah, but if they did make a crap ton and you're getting a LaMelo base card, one minimum every box, and they made a ton of boxes, and you're getting one in every first off the line box, and they may have made 16,000 boxes worth. I'm thinking that this might be the most produced prism since
I think it,
ever,
but, it, but
ever.
It, I think it needs to be. Well, you don't get one box. You get what? How many rookies? You get two rookies of a pack?
Two rookies a pack.
So 24.
Yeah. And maybe 40-something, 50.
So there's going to be some boxes where you actually don't hit them.
Maybe 50. Well, maybe 50 rookies.
What Chris was saying, he said he watched a lot of cases of 1920, and you'd get three Zion in the case. Three Zion base in the case.
Yeah. Okay.
So because if you figure, I mean, because you got to remember, they're pulling out like Nicholas Claxton and type guys, right? They're throwing in you know, there should only be like 40 to 50 rookies, but there usually is like 80 to 90, right? So you figure, yeah, so that math works out about right there with the 24. So for this to be 2,500 and possibly go up, you're going to need LaMelo to be $500, $600, $700 on a base card.
Yeah, I think
you're going to need that. I think the price of the box is going to drop. I mean, I would think.
I think out of the gate, you're going to see
crazy prices.
You're going to see prices go for like $1,000.
Right.
But the more that hit the market, they will go down.
They will go down.
They're not going to go up.
A lot of it's going to go to grading too. Got to consider that. Yeah. To answer your original question, is the demand going to be the demand is going to be as much as the supply?
Yeah.
I think so. I'm gonna say I truly believe the demand.
That's where I'm going into this with an open mind, because we've had so many of these hype shows that we're like, never gonna do that, and you'll never sell for that, and it does.
I'll still
because
do
there's
that.
So many there's so many people in this industry now compared to last year or even the year before. I mean, we could say even from the Zion rookie year to now, there's maybe five times the amount of collectors now.
Everybody gets a LaMelo.
We're gonna need everybody to get a LaMelo to justify the
box prices. Well, I mean, you also got to figure Fast Break. They'll probably release that again.
Of course.
You're gonna have all the Fanatics. Retail, all the retail SKUs. Yeah.
Yep.
Fanatics back. The set. Prism set.
Tmall. You have some Tmall SKUs as well.
Yep.
So, man.
I mean, let's
100,000 of each rookie made, maybe?
Do we think that LaMelo is going to win Rookie of the Year regardless?
I think it's going to be close. Anthony Edwards is going to have a real shot at getting it.
If he plays well, right?
Because LaMelo is not going to play for the rest of the year. It's going to be close. We'll see. I can't. That's a tough question. But
that is
like,
the only thing that can increase his price, because he's not playing.
Yeah,
is him winning him winning the Rookie of the Year.
At the same time, I don't think him if he doesn't win, I don't think that affects his price.
I don't think it goes down. But he has to do something for the price to increase. Something has to happen with him. And if he's not playing, how can the price go up?
I mean, it kind of worked for for Zion last year, where he only played 20 games and then his value just kept going up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Zion, yeah, exactly. Zion played very few games, and it seemed like with every product. I mean, there's always that new booty, so to speak, new booty hype, where the Prism going to be the new booty for a couple weeks, right?
For a long time.
At least until, like, maybe NT or Flawless or Immaculate or Contenders Optic or whatever. It's going to be what people are chasing, and maybe even the culmination of what we have going on right now is going to head in right into that. So Edwards is probably going to be the second most in-demand Prism player. What do we think his base sells at?
400.
Shoot, the only predictions I've made on stream while breaking are the silver prices. I didn't really even think about base.
What do you think a LaMelo silver is going to go for?
My personal prediction is a LaMelo silver is closer, like, it's close to a box price, like $2,500.
Yeah, I'd say 20.
That's fair.
Anthony Edwards, you assume, you take out 25 to 30% of that, maybe even 40%. So safely around 15, maybe, just to be safe. 12 to 1,500.
Wiseman, same thing.
Wiseman, I think, is about 1,000. He's a little bit lower than those two guys. But
Halliburton?
Halliburton, if he keeps playing well, he had a really good game the other night. If he keeps playing well and he's consistent, he'll be up there with Wiseman prices.
So is it safe to say that there's at least four rookie base cards that'll be over $200, you think?
Yes.
Between those four that we just mentioned?
Base.
And then who knows? I mean, you got Manuel Toppin, you got Manuel Quickly. I mean,
Adesia.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and, one thing that we've talked about in the offseason, I know this maybe not be as a star-studded rookie class as a John Zion rookie class, but these guys didn't really play last year, right? They didn't play in March Madness last year much. They might have played a little bit before that. For them to, like, get into where they're like, I figured this out. You know what I mean? So you may have somebody. I mean, look at RJ Barrett now. He's finally he's got enough time where he's putting it together.
I got a question for both of you guys. Let's look into the crystal ball here. And fast forward 1 year from today, what is Prism First off the line selling for?
I'm legit worried about next year. Next year, because right now
I'm saying this. Oh, this year. 2020, 2021. Okay. The first off the line, the Prism that's coming out. What do you think the first off the line is going
version?
For at this time next year?
Just the first off the line.
Just the first off the line, because we know the ceiling. It started at $4,500 a box. It dropped down to $2,000. Where do you think it is in a calendar year? Granted, we would be well past the halfway point of the season.
Yeah,
my prediction is $5,000.
I was gonna say around $4,500. Because once again, compare it to last year's. What we said last year's is at around $4,000, I think, ish.
You only get 10 cards,
and you'll get 10 cards.
Do you? But I actually got a. I got another one. Do you think because Panini started that out the Dutch auction at $4,500 that they kind of set the ceiling? Is that why you're saying $5,000? Is that why you're saying $4,500? Because like, there's gonna be this perceived value of this is where the ceiling is $4,500. This is where it started. So why would it go for any?
It could be that. I was basing more mines off of the 1920 price that it's currently at, and just knowing that you get.
But
like,
the 1920 is a completely different configuration.
That's what we're saying.
That's why I went like $1,000 higher. Because you do get more. You just get more
because
base cards.
That, and I bring that up because there's a lot of people who bought it at the floor. It bought it at $2,000. Mm-hmm. Do they rip it, or you hold on to it for a year?
You never rip, but try not doing that. You know what I mean? Like that's especially if you're part of these card groups, and then some guy just pulled the Shimmer to 35 LaMelo and his, and you're like,
and got $50,000 for it,
and you're like, I only spent $2,000. Then you're like, it's a good deal. I can't even buy it at $2,000 now. You know, like it's like $3,000 now. I got it at a good deal. I got to do it. You know, so you're gonna justify unless you like put in a safety deposit box. But I mean, obviously, keeping the seal wax is the best investment.
Yeah, it depends on the type of person, right? Because you know, I bought a couple of things sealed. Like I have a sealed 18-19 case of Revolution that I have. You know, I'm just keeping it sealed because it's my favorite product. And I haven't touched it at all, you know, like I don't have the urge, maybe because I'm breaking cards every day, you know. It depends on the person, dude. Like, are you the type that you love to, like, anytime you get a sealed product, you just, like, you have the urge to rip it, like, real bad? Or, like, are you the type, like, you know it's going to go up in value with sealed, so you're just keeping it sealed?
Got a couple good comments in the chat. Dave saying Kira on the Pelicans is the greatest rookie in this class, he's saying. I actually think that kid's pretty good. I think he needs a little bit more seasoning, and that team's kind of like don't know where they're at because they're going to trade Lonzo maybe. So, and then Winter Sports Card has a good question. I'll go to C-Rad. What do you think Zion's second year will go for?
That is a good question. That is a good question. I will say I'm going to put a number on it. It's going to be
– I guess start with a base, right?
Yeah, let's go like – I'm just going to go overall percentage of compared to his rookie year stuff. I think it's going to be probably like 30% of what his first year goes for.
So you get like $100 to $150 on the base and
yeah.
I don't know what, $500 to $1,000 on silver. That's crazy.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, Luka was the one guy, like I remember we'd laugh. We're like, man, who wants second year cards? And it's like Luka was like the anomaly. It's like I think he pulled like a green second year and it was like, going for like $10,000 or something.
If
like
they put
stupid.
A really cool picture too, it depends on how cool the picture is, because that's gonna weigh some of it. If they like put a really cool picture of him, like you know, almost dunking like in the air or something, that'd be dope.
Yeah,
I'd say it's one.
How about the third year Luka?
Third year Luka.
You guys laugh. You think it's funny?
No, it's funny.
You think it's funny? Think it's funny.
Hey, I put to the side when I opened Revolution and Donruss, I put to the side those third year Lucas to get top loaded. So
yeah,
it's a real thing.
Shipping department knows.
Yeah,
the great top load shortage of 2020, 2021.
17th year LeBron's got to go to the side too. Crazy. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, the rumbling is that they feel like the collectors feel like the Dutch auction was a failure. That a lot of people are feeling like because LaMelo got hurt, that's why the Dutch auction was lower.
Absolutely
but
not.
If you look at the stats,
there's a possibility that it didn't sell out at 2,500 because LaMelo got hurt. Maybe you got to take into consideration that there had to be some people who did not pull the trigger because LaMelo got hurt.
Yeah, those are new collectors.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm yeah, I mean, you gotta say there had to be some people who didn't pull the trigger because of that.
You have to think about the amount. There was 16,000 boxes made, give or take, based on the numbers of the shimmers that are, you know, the X amount of shimmers that were made. How many people can spend $2,000 a box?
Yeah,
you know, you've got the breakers. You've got the retailers, you've got the distributors that are buying cases, right?
You got the whales.
But the average Joe that's thinking about ripping it maybe bought one, maybe two. I mean, you know,
at 2,000.
Yeah, I mean, people aren't mortgaging their house on Prizm first off the line.
I want to say this, dude. Like, anybody that's watching that's a newer collector and are thinking that this Prizm first off the line was a failure from Panini, trust me, it was not a failure. The reason being is that what is the map price of this product? It's supposed to be like $1,000 or something, right? $750? $700? $500?
Probably $250, dude.
I think it's like
$250.
On a hobby box, yeah.
A hobby box, Panini once.
I don't know how Panini survived.
Yeah, Panini was pricing this product at $250. So the floor on the first offline was $2,000. So this was not a failure.
Yeah, I think I did some math on what I thought it would sell at. So let's just say the average sale was, let's even say it was 2,300. And then we did 16,000 boxes. I mean, we're looking at, they took in $36 million. On $36 million on just on first off the line.
First off the line. Only.
And, you know, they sell it to distributors for a lot less than that. So,
well, I mean,
we're not distributors. But.
Yeah, they probably.
Ew, if 36 mil is a failure, sign me up, bro.
So, yeah, I mean, the start was too high and the ceiling was too low. There's also a group of people that are saying that it got magically pulled when it got to around 2,000.
There's always that theory.
We don't know. We have no idea. But, you know, and we don't know how many they've sold.
Or the bots could have been programmed at $2,000 and that's why they just.
True. It just took off. That's true. You could probably figure out a way to, I mean, program a bot, I'm sure. You know, we'll have to figure that out. If anybody has a bot, let us know. You can do that on Dutch Auction. I don't have one. So, but it'd be interesting to see with these, like you said, the 12, 13, see what these golds go for, silvers go for. I mean, it's going to be a super interesting week next week to break this stuff. So we already have breaks posted on mojobreak.com, and I'm going to be posting more throughout the week.
Are you sure it's coming out on the 31st?
Yeah. It says it on there. I mean, if they've already done the Dutch.
I mean,
I was looking at the blowout release calendar. They updated it. It says the 31st.
Oh, they had it as April. It just said April.
Yeah, on their main one, I didn't see it on there either.
Okay, let's roll.
Today.
What about select football?
We got a lot of crazy.
Is that
stuff
coming out the same day?
No.
No, but definitive is coming out the same day.
No, I think select football was supposed to.
If you go on the release calendar, and once again, I don't know if this is up to date, but you have Prizm, definitive, and yeah, you have Gypsy Queen the following week, and then tribute.
Well, what's that PokeStars edition round two?
That's
never
probably
heard of
good, man. Wait, no, never mind. It's not going to be good. It's going to suck.
No, I never heard of it.
Yeah, select is not until the 9th of April.
Oh, okay, so. That got pushed.
Yeah, and actually, something's gonna move because they have select and contenders optic on the same day, which would
no way
would never happen. I mean, that's pretty dumb. So, but if you guys want to weigh in on this, what your thought is, we'd love to hear it on our comments on Mojo Break Media. That if LaMelo's injury affected the Dutch auction, and are you not buying Prizm this year because the prices are too high? We want to know. We want you to comment below. Also, make sure you subscribe here. We've got a great video coming out. We did the break room with Joe Staley. We've got the second part of the series coming out as well. We've got Cody broke boxes with Arizona Coyote star Derek Brassard. So he broke some boxes, chatted. He hit an amazing hit, too. So you got to watch that. That'll be going to our Mojo Break Media here soon. So we're planning to have more people with blue check marks opening up boxes. So, like I said, that because there's a wide range of blue check
mark
people.
Should have called it that. The blue check mark breaks.
Oh, I think I just stumbled upon something.
Bro, you just gave out a great idea.
I did.
No, I did.
Setting the price and quantity are one of the settings to trigger the bot to run. Okay, good to know. See, there you go. Yeah, so you definitely. That's why maybe it looks like Panini pulls it when it gets to a certain price because it's just like, gone. Just gone right there.
Figured.
Yeah. Select football is my jam. Going all in on that. Prism went to retail yesterday morning. Wow. I don't even want to know, dude. There's going to be
people. I moved in.
There's people sleeping right now at Target, like literally at Walmart.
They got beds.
There might be some violence.
They got.
I hope not, but there might be some violence going down.
They got some beds there, right? Take a little siesta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pitch a tent.
Man.
Here, let me go to the camping area, get a tent.
I want to know what these are. I'd love to find an Excel. I think it's Excel Marketing or Beckett Marketing, one of these.
I think it used to be Beckett.
But
no connection with the Beckett we know and love.
I would,
different Beckett.
I would love to interview one of these guys just to find out how things go down now.
Man, that would be a great. That would be great to get somebody on the podcast that were just like a day in the life of Excel Marketing sales rep.
They probably are a witness protection at this point. You know, life's a little tough.
Oh, so if we do an interview, we'd have to like blank out their face
and
have like a robot voice.
Mojo's distributors are going to start doing trivia night to qualify to buy in. Yeah, probably.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, random.org probably. It's just to figure out who's going to get what they can.
Prism Retail.
My friend got two cellos and is offering 250 per. Two cello boxes? Or just the packs?
Cello packs.
Cello packs.
Those are $10.
Damn, 250.
It's a wild world we
it
live in.
It is a wild world we live in. Well,
that's why I said the botters are going to become millionaires.
They
off
are.
Off of Prism.
They probably are. Well, the last little topic, this was kind of interesting, and I don't know if we have enough data on it, but another sports card marketplace enters the hobby. It's called Dibs, and it's not the Dibs that you pop in your mouth. Dibs here. It's not that. But it's a play on of, I got Dibs on this card. So a newly launched sports card marketplace has picked up a $2.8 million in seed financing. You know, we're just throwing out millions of dollars like they're dollar bills now. That's just how I feel.
They are.
It's like, here's
it's
a dollar.
It's exactly what they are, dollar bills.
They're dollar bills.
There's 2.8 million of them.
Yeah. I mean, no, but like the equivalent of being worth a couple dollars.
Oh, okay.
Dibs, which bills itself as a real-time marketplace for trading fractional interest in sports cards, is currently in beta testing with several thousand users, but expects to be fully open to the public in April. Among the new investors are Courtside Adventures, Founder Collective, JDS Sports Cards, Sports Card Investor, and other angel investors, including new PSA chairman Nat Turner and former NBA player Channing Frye. Dibs allows collectors to buy and sell physical cards, but also trade fractional inserts of higher value cards 24/7. The fractional ownership model allows users to instantly trade any amount of interest in a card on live order books. If you believe in a certain player, you can instantly purchase shares of a quantity of some of his cards. Unlike other fractional platforms, Dibs also offers transaction featuring cards that aren't necessarily among the highest valued. So what I imagine, without going on their site because you can't get on their site yet, is basically you can sell your cards like COMC and you can also get into the fractional game. But my question is, if you have like a $20,000 card, it's not selling, can you be like, I'm putting it up for fractional right away? Because that would be crazy. That would be crazy in a couple different ways, that there could be shadiness. There could also be like a card that's normally $20,000.
Or can you put it up and say, I'm going to do fractional, but I'm going to hold 50% of it. I'm just going to sell.
Right.
I'm just going to sell 50% of my card.
Right. Could you? Yeah. You're like, I need a little bit of a cash bump, but I want to own.
Or if you get a really good deal on a card, you're like, I'm going to get my money out of the card and then basically put it. Yeah. I mean, dude, think about that. Think about like if you can choose how much of a percent that you want to sell your card.
Exactly. And that's what they mean by 24/7. We were talking about off air, but I guess you decided to do these fractional things 24/7. I wonder if they're going to allow you to trade like, all right, I got 30% in this LeBron Chrome. Right. Let's just say the LeBron Chrome's $10,000. I got 30%, which is $3,000. I'm gonna buy your Mike Trout for 30. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna trade you my 30% of my LeBron for your 2011 update
for your
Mike Trout.
Full Mike Trout.
Yeah, because the value is equal the same.
Yeah,
that would be crazy. That would be crazy.
The parties would have to agree to that, right?
Right. I think you can make an offer, and I'm sure
you can't just be like, I'm doing this deal. It's on the marketplace, and I don't care. You now own 30% of this card, and I own 100% of this card.
I think that's where if they can pull something, maybe not exactly of that magnitude off, but I think the hobby needs, and none of these platforms have been able to do it, is trading. I think if you could get somebody, and a lot of the, like, COMC doesn't want to do it, and I think Starstock was trying to figure out a way to do it. they don't make money doing it. But what they but you got to figure there's money just having people on your site though, right?
You could make money in doing it. You can do like a transactional fee. I think it's just the logistics on trying to catalog it is where the problem is.
I mean, you would have to have, obviously, it would have to be the CMC approach where this Dibs company physically has the card, right?
Dibs, yeah.
Got Dibs, yeah. Because if you're expecting John to send it to Billy, and John's like, oh, I don't have it anymore, but he made the trade, you can't have that. The platform's going to collapse. It has to probably be physically in the hands of Dibs here. You know,
dude, I actually can't. I can't say this name anymore.
Dibs with two B's. They probably couldn't do the DIB because of that reason. So they threw another B on.
All right. More important. What's your favorite Dibs flavor?
Just regular vanilla, man.
No, dude. It has the candy. It has the candy bar. Dibs is the candy bar one, right?
No, it's a little thing.
No, that's Dipping Dots.
No, Dibs is a
Dibs
is the one that's like
it's the one where like you have Snickers and like Reese's and yeah, dude. No. Dipping Dots is what you're thinking.
No, I'm not.
Dude. All right.
The vanilla Dibs with the almond, right?
No, dude, it's the bites, bro. Look, I'm telling you. Yes. Those crunch. Yes, that's Dibs.
No, that's Dibs.
Yeah. Nestle
Crunch. It has a candy bar in it. You're thinking Dipping Dots.
No, I was. I think the crunch is the vanilla to me because it's just vanilla in the side. It's the outside.
No, but I said the one that has the candy bar.
Oh yeah.
That's the one I was talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I think you're switching. Go to Dipping Dots, dude. I think that's.
No,
what you're
I know
what
Dipping Dots is. My kids love those. But yeah, I guess you have different candy bars. But I
they're all different candy bars.
Mint.
Yeah, strawberry.
So yeah. Mm.
I think I've only really rocked.
It does have. It's like a circular version. It's like a ball version of the candy bar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Delicious. Dibs here.
Dibs. No, Dibs are pretty good, though. Pretty
interesting
good.
Idea. I'll check it out when it's live. You know what I mean? Sports card investors involved. So that's what I was just going to bring up. Like, you figure with the hobby is growing, like, and I was just going to say it, too. Like, a lot of there's probably a segment of angel investors that are looking towards the sports card market, right? And they're like, how can we get in this? Like, which avenue can we take to, you know?
They're looking for a group break company.
Investors?
Investors? Maybe you.
No. Yeah, Dibs. You know what I actually remember? Bonbons. What happened to Bonbons? Wasn't that the original Dib?
Yeah.
That was originally. They were a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm. So
Bonbons. And Married with Children, what's her name? Katie Seagal's character used to always ask for Bonbons.
Speaking of like older, odd like desserts, you remember Viennetta?
Yep. I remember the commercial.
It came back. They basically reissued it.
They made it look like high end.
It was
luxury ice cream.
Ice cream cake with like layered chocolate.
Mm.
It was good though. It was good. It was. I mean, it wasn't WWE ice cream bars, but
those.
That's right.
Hulk
Hogan.
Those were cool.
That's what the brown. It was like ice cream sandwich, right?
Nobody could ever like. They still can't replicate it to this day.
But dude, they weren't like they were cool. But they weren't that good.
They were delicious, bro.
It's like getting a snow cone with the frozen gumball like on the bottom. That was disgusting.
Cody, what's your favorite Dibs flavor? If you had to pick one or bonbons.
Favorite? I don't know. Just probably regular chocolate is fine.
Now, Cody liked the wrestling ice cream bars like me.
I was more of like the cookie sandwich or like a Choco Taco. Like that was my
Choco
go-to.
Taco. Yeah. That's an all-time great.
Choco Taco.
Choco
but
Taco.
You can only get it from the ice cream man, right?
No,
back in the day.
Actually,
yeah, that was only an ice cream man thing. Yeah,
actually, sure. You can get a Choco Taco
at 7-Eleven.
At Taco Bravo. For anybody who's local.
Oh, that's right.
They used to have Choco Tacos.
Just cause.
What about Otter Pops?
Otter Pops were good. I grew up on those.
So Otter Pops were dope.
Yeah. But if you didn't have patients like me and your mom just brought them home and you're like, I want one now. And she's like, you can't have it now. Why?
You just, well,
it's
then
not
it,
frozen.
Then you'd just be drinking
yeah,
like
you
sugar,
just drink
sugar water.
No, you always get to the point where like, I think it's good enough. And then you open it up and you're like, man, it was just the top part was frozen. Now it's just all liquid. But
And an ice cream, like they had like the big stick, which was like the Otter Pop that was like huge. It was
gigantic.
Yep. It was like a giant.
Yep.
Yeah. The good old days. Do they still have, are ice cream men like still a thing?
Yeah, yeah. Is that, the ding, is that ding, a... They have the ding ding man over in okay. the Alum Rock area.
The what?
My wife. I think my
excuse me.
My wife and her family calls it because it was like the. I guess when they were kids, they probably thought because of the dinging sound.
No, I get it, but that's...
But that one did. That one they did the soft serve in that one.
Okay.
And they wow. had it was a huge truck that would come by. They cool. would call him the ding ding man. I'm glad I made you guys laugh.
All right.
Every time we're over at a grandma's house, they're like, hey, is the ding ding man coming? And I that's my vocabulary right now. It's part of my daily speech when it's summertime.
Hell of a show, guys. Hell of a show.
Oh, man. But yeah, you got me thinking about desserts. Like, what kind of dessert am I going to get tonight? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Gotta pack those pounds, those dibs.
Good luck, though, dibs.
Yeah,
I was going to mention to you guys that apparently on Dibs you can like buy into a specific player if you want.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the ice cream.
No, but yeah, we got on ice cream and, you know, so I was like, ah, forget it. Let's just roll with it.
But if you invest in a single player, but you get like one certain type of car. I guess we'll have to see once it goes
from
live,
what
right?
I was looking at. It's basically if you can say, OK, I want to put $100 into Luka Doncic. It has what they had on their video on their Twitter. I want to put $100 into Luka, and you could split it up depending on like which fractions of cards you
ooh,
want to do.
Ooh, well, so, yeah, because what if they put together like a mutual fund of
just that one player
of that one player? Oh, so you have crazy. Like you have like a silver Luka and a base Luka out of Prism, and then maybe an NT RPA that.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm reading the chat here. But Jason says the only ice cream men left are on the east side of set. Yes, and that's where I was at. That's where the Ding Ding Man comes. Wiseman says they will. Yeah, I'm not even going to read what Wiseman said.
No,
but if you're in the chat,
don't
watch
it.
The replay on the chat.
Don't read
I'll
it.
Let you a little teaser there. But yeah, it's fun talking about ice cream. What's your guys' favorite ice cream in the chat? I mean, you know, what do we got? What do we got? But we went from cards to desserts.
It's not my fault they named her company Dibs.
What about the you know what I was sad to see go, but for good reason, was the bubblegum cigarettes. I mean, like, why don't
okay.
they serve those
that,
anymore at the
why,
ice cream
man? Are you, ask yourself why.
I know why.
Why don't they serve those anymore?
That was pretty dang cool, though. Did you guys have those growing
yeah,
up?
I had them.
That's like, that was the one thing, because you could get everything else Ice Cream Man had. You could get that at the store, but those were only at the Ice Cream Man.
Terrible flavored bubble gum. It would like,
oh, yeah,
it would you'd lose the flavor instantly, and you would get one puff of sugar,
yeah.
And then it would be just like nothing.
Yeah, you're like, God. Yeah, and then it's like, oh,
just
oh.
teaching you to smoke a pack of Marlboro Reds a day.
And they used to
start
have
them young.
The poppers, right?
The poppers.
The
yeah.
poppers were like an Ice Cream Man exclusive too. I mean, they wound up be coming in the stores, but
I can see
you
Doug is like
poppers and your bubblegum cigarettes.
Doug is a 6-year-old with like rolled up bubblegum cigarettes and his in his shirt, just like throwing poppers at people,
yeah.
making it rain with poppers.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
all right. Well, that's all we got for today's show. But stay tuned for breaks. Don't go nowhere. We've got Absolute coming up. We've got Lee Flash. We've got some Donruss. We got lots of stuff breaking
encased.
Today. Oh, you got it up there. Encased, first off the line breaking tonight, too. We just got it in. It said Thursday, but it came today. So we got it in a little early. So we're going to be doing some breaks on that. And, yeah, check out the site, mojobreak.com, for your breaks, where everything's scheduled and guaranteed. And mojobreakshop.com if you want to get wax shipped to your door where you can rip it yourself. All right, guys. Till next week, we'll see you guys on the hype. Peace.